All right, Hebrews chapter 1. Lo and behold, we, I think, are going to make it all the way through the rest of Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. We've been going somewhat slowly, carefully, but I think edifyingly through the first four verses. We'll read those again, but we will also pick up the rest, verses 5 through 14. Particularly, we paid most attention to verses 5 and 6 last Lord's Day, so our attention will be focused on verses 7 through 14 this morning. Let's stand together as we hear from God's Word. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is the Word of the Lord. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, something I've brought up a number of times already, will no doubt continue to bring up, remind you that the overarching theme of this epistle is Jesus's superiority. And so a very simple outline of Hebrews, one that I took from a commentary that I go through regularly, may be in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1, Jesus is superior to the prophets. In verse 4 of chapter 1 through the rest of chapter 2, Jesus is superior to the angels. In chapter 3 and most of chapter 4, Jesus is superior to Moses. In the rest of chapter 4 on through verse 18 of chapter 10, he's superior to Aaron, which is to say that he's superior to all the priests, all the Old Testament priesthood. And lastly, in verses 10:19 through 12:29, we have revealed to us that Jesus is superior as the new and living way. Of course, after that, there is a 13th chapter. There's a few words of exhortation, requests, greetings. But all in all, from beginning to just about the very end, we have Jesus' superiority over and above all that came before him, and especially over that which the Jews, and again, especially the Jews that were wavering through Christ, would have held most dear to their souls. They believed these other things were probably not even close. Jesus is superior. Various ways in which the Old Testament scriptures point to Jesus, right? To think, well, or at least, you remember, something else is more important. And that's what I'm talking about. There's various ways in which we can say all them to do the same thing. We might read through each one of those that we tend to esteem. Again, that we're at least tempted to place above Jesus, have above Jesus. Not all that unlike the Jews sought to do with the prophets possess as we exalt Christ above all else. And we'll look at each of those points under this. First, when it says, and of the angels, verse 7, and Remember that the writer of Hebrews is using the Jews' very own Old Testament that he just got done revealing those seven glories of early on. And the angel, verse 4, where it says that God makes his angels, spirits, his ministers. The psalmist in 104 wants you to know God is the creator. It's his creation. He should be exalted for water like we have outside today coming down from the sky. He goes on to write of God's sovereignty over quoting that here in Hebrews. It's this. It's to point out the great. Of course, particular here, because he's talking about God the Son, that's what it's. What exactly is meant by God making his angels? And don't miss that part. Whose angel? It is wind, and that God makes them flames of fire. Well, what's probably his command, so too are the angels used by him whenever and wherever God sends them. But again, the main point is very much unlike in 14 then. And it's another rhetorical question that we have in verse 13. Angels are ministering, as in serving, spirits. Suppose then a quote or direct quote from Psalm 103:21. That way, well, yes. But as Calvin points out, that's not his nature. But instead, for, right? Their whole condition or nature, Calvin said, is contained within that ministry of his control. Nothing is beyond his sight. Angels as creatures are serving, 14. Them who shall be heirs of salvation, which is another way of saying God's children, God's elect. With the Baal worshippers, what does God do? Sends to him an angel to minister, really fathom what he went through. When Mary told him that she was with child, what did the Lord do? He sent only to be awakened by an angel of the Lord, who then led him out of the prison unto the house where the other saints listened to the prophetic word, were delivered. Even here in Hebrews, to serve, we can come away thinking, well, that would just be cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that just be cool? On this passage given by Sinclair Ferguson, he made the comment that for anyone who thinks ways in which his angels ministered and served were used, those sorts of things. And then he added, you don't think that you got to church this morning at the age you are without injustice. His ministering spirits. Praise the Lord that God has in his created order. So hopefully we all understand the proper status and function of angels. The writer says regarding the Son that God the Father has said to him, look again at verses, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. King that truly and only loves righteousness in every way. I don't know how, it's going to be subjective, of course, but there's some judge. Well, here, obviously, again, it must be his throne is forever and ever. David's throne isn't. Where's David now? And where's that throne? At the end of verse 8, we read that Jesus' scepter is a scepter of righteousness. He wants there to be silent. When he wants everyone to know that he's displeased with what they put down when he wanted silence. Perhaps he'd wave it around, whatever it would be, when he means that everything he ordered to be done is just and right with the cause thereof. Christ Jesus is the head of the church, set to do judgment and just. No, I'd rather have me as judge. No, I'd rather have somebody else to stand. Why? He will. How can he not? And so, again, how alluring with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And fellows there could either be referring to back to the place of his former glory alongside the Father. That's something of joy that belongs to God, or that belongs to Christ. Quotation taken from Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Look at what originally caused the psalmist to write what he did, his complaint before the Lord. And then verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee, so that I forget to eat my bread. And look at down at verse 11. This psalm has long been held to be written at the time when Jerusalem, we're talking about that in 2 Kings. And maybe it'll happen to some parts of Judah, but not. And yet in God's just judgment it happened. And it's happened in the psalm. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Verse 12, but thou shalt build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. And I'm sorry, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise. Then behind this reference to Psalm 102, as well as all of the other Old Testament quotes. He is the Lord God. They offer him worship and homage. He is the God remains. The psalmist there, he speaks, okay, well, Jerusalem, those things we thought were of the earth, they'll perish, but you won't, Lord. Aren't that? They were created. Again, that's the whole thing next time, but look at chapter 2 of Hebrews, the first four verses there. This, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both was known for. And again, the plan is to go over that next week, but even now it would be good for seeing me with. Am I giving more earnest heed and attention to so great salvation, or am I more often than it's certainly not a warning that we should treat Christ. And as we do that, let's think about ways in which we might be tempted. Well, some of them paid more earnest heed, right? Just with the same, well, not just the same, but like temptations to put other God. Let's just think about words, communications, spoken. More than what article written by a professing believer that I read a few days ago, it said the epitome of our societal obsession, saying, while the fruits of such a thought are things like, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Hold on, I'll just stop there. But the author of that article wrote, to overcome guilt, anxiety, and unworthiness, we should pursue happiness. Have you suppose read that New York article and thought, yeah, oh, good word. Flesh, if I do it, if I try it, then I'll succeed. Only what? I used to do that in an old Bible, and it talked about believe. I put a little slash and a little word, obey, because that's really what, believe it? You want to say you believe it. Believe, obey means you really believe it. Dying to self, not finding salvation in self, dying to self. The wisdom of whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find man pluck them out of my hand. One more, the wisdom of God, spoken this knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made. Listen, but I follow after sanctification. But I'm looking to Christ because in him is found all the righteous. Hard after the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Especially if our actions are such that daily we do seek to die to self. And with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I do not. You command me to. That sums up. I acknowledge that. No, I do not love my neighbor as myself. Sacrifice. And so I thank you, Lord, for your perfect plan of salvation. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to follow after. That's where true happiness is. Then he went on to say that today tolerance essentially means because my truth is well, I critique any belief or behavior without a backlash of criticism. It comes from an autonomous attitude. And even we can have such an autonomous attitude. It's love, even though their love has nothing to do with the kind of love that God says in John 14:21, but by me. In many other ways, I'm sure, that the world claims that are wise, the same natural tendencies. We need to counter those with the word. All right, well, neglect weekly of not only being here physically to sit under the preaching corporate worship, stressing the need that we all have of obeying God's word and being most spiritual. Christ covenant, if you just type in Christ covenant Wiley, it'll come up and it's there. Excellent sermon by David Clarkson. In that he said that since we so soon their watch, they didn't have watches in Amos 8, but when is the Sabbath going to be over? I want to get back to selling corn yourself. You're here, sort of, in body, maybe. That since here is the sweetest enjoyment of God, the clearest discovery, the conversion of sinners, the edification of the body of Christ, the salvation of souls. So those things, and I put that quote in your insert. Think of it, it's those things. No such thing. And why? Because the wise men look probably boring. probably just, you know, it's, I suppose they're all just spiritual glory within, which such a believer, such a one that hears and perceives, believe God, you ordained that there should be public worship, corporate worship. You've ordained. Again, there's the world's way of doing things. There's the right way of doing. There's God's way, most persuaded by the world's or the Lord's. And then let's to be asked. Heavenly Father, we again are blessed by of the flesh, of the devil, which of course isn't really wisdom. That comes from knowing you through Christ. God, we ask that you would pour that out, work in and through us, and that we would give you all the praise, all the glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.